This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, hello, and welcome to Gareth Cliff Show on CliffCentral.com. It is the 9th of May. Thank you for joining us. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Nailed it.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
Sure. Yesterday's show was quite something. I was quite ill. I had like a really bad cold last week.
Oh,
I
don't know if you guys mentioned. No. Why is everyone being sick?
Relax.
You have the cold.
Calm down.
Have you spoken to my ballet Princess Molloy this morning?
Past tense, relax.
Have you spoken to my ballet this morning?
Yeah, you know what? How about you go ahead. Go. you want to talk? Go.
No, I'm just so worried though. That's the thing. I'm just panicking because I think everyone is getting sick. You were sick and I still feel like you still have the germs and the spreading of the vibes. And then Mabale this morning is like downing herself with medicine Alice in between. So I just feel like all of us in this room are going to get tons and tons of germs. Mm. And by all of us, I mean me, because I'm still the only healthy one standing.
Point I was going to make is that yesterday's show was rather interesting. So I started running now that I can run again. I listened back to part one again, and I was just getting over Ntandazo's story. And I was thinking, like, you know, because he is on Daddy Find Grindr.
Daddy Hunt.
Daddy Hunt, sorry. Yeah. Maybe Daddy Find is the new startup casual sex app. But then, you know, Sia and I were talking about, you know, like casual prostitution, the escort business and that kind of stuff. And I was thinking that the sex industry has been so big for so long. How is it still taboo in our lives? Because the way he put it out yesterday was, I've got no qualms with this. I take precautions. I'm responsible. I vet all the people accordingly. This has been going on in our lives for so long. Mm. Yet still, you hear something like that and you can't help but be taken aback a bit. So if you didn't listen to it, CliffCentral.com, go and find the podcast. Part one yesterday, we kind of get into it, and part two, we touch on it again. But, you know, it's maybe there's gaps because you're always thinking like, oh, this economy, it's so tough. And I'm not saying you want to go whore yourself or, as he said, sell dick online.
Mm.
But like, are there other angles that maybe we can look at within the sex industry? Because it's clearly something that never dies, right? Like I was thinking like phone sex lines. There's maybe a way of dipping your toe while making money.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Maybe you just need some voice lessons.
Well, I'm not saying I'm necessarily going to, but I'm saying as an industry,
as
a business, as someone you can get into without having to obviously sell the flesh, so to speak.
Yeah.
We need to look into this. I really do, because I know these things happen out there. I know people are, like, you look at corporate, those corporate hotels, you know, like those suites.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go in there with the UV light. I reckon there's a big market there. You throw a couple of brochures in there. And you, whatever, sex lines.
Wait, how did you get from throwing a couple of UV lights to sex lines?
I'm just saying, when you look at corporate sales people, whatever, people who travel during the week.
Yes.
And who are invariably home alone, whatever.
In their hotel alone,
yeah.
Okay.
Guys, we're thinking about this whole sex thing and people are getting into it. And maybe more people are into it than we think. It's just that yesterday we had our first revelation of a listener who's actually throwing himself into the game.
Do you know, for me, God bless Ntandazo's.
Wow.
Ntandazo's soul. There we go. That one.
Congratulations for getting there.
Cassie tops 24, I think, is what he really goes for.
But I really, for the first time in a very long time, because of course this is not regularly top of mind, but I just got reminded that, oh, right, prostitution is illegal in South Africa. And largely in a lot of places and around the world as well. And I thought, well, for what exactly? And look at Ntandazo in his case. He is out of a job and he thought, well, what best asset can I use? And he knows like what he enjoys and he knows what he doesn't. And he knows what his skills are and what his skills aren't.
But, you know, some people...
So he could put it into... to good use.
Some people would go as far as to say that. Excuse me.
See, you weren't joking. Surely
what I swear.
Okay.
This morning, like a few minutes before the show started, it it seemed like she was in the middle of a lab. She was putting medicine in a cup and the right amount of water, and then hot water, then a pill, and things were fizzing up.
So, yeah.
It would be a miracle if we are healthy by the end of the hour.
A lot of people would go as far as to say that, you know, prostitution happens in almost any scenario, if you take into consideration the whole blesser, blessee phenomenon. They say, well, that's a type of prostitution. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I sleep with you and then I buy you airtime in exchange, or I just give you some money so that you can go and use it for your needs. And there are a lot of dynamics that exist like that in modern relationships. They say it's all prostitution at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
All of it.
But we're all so precious about this kind of stuff. We're so precious about how you call it. But in other celebrity news, because, you know, one to the other, Justin Bieber has made some shocking revelations, on Instagram.
Okay. He's not a prostitute?
No, right. he's not a prostitute.
Okay. But
we're talking about how we all have these preconceived ideas about the glamorous life and how you get rich and all these happy things. But Bieber, all in capitals. When someone's all in capitals, you know they mean business.
You've got to take them seriously.
When did punctuation just become unfashionable? Commas. I think commas are at least, they're so under you. That's a different story.
Okay.
I mean, I'll leave that for Gord. Oh, Gord messaged me at like 1 o'clock this morning saying, as fate would have it, again, I am slammed with work and I'm only getting to bed now, so I'm not going to be able to make it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All you Gord fans out there. Boom, boom, boom. Hey world, this is Justin Bieber. Hey world, that glamorous lifestyle you see portrayed by famous people on Instagram, don't be fooled thinking their life is better than yours. I can promise you it's not. Now this is a guy who's been through the ringer, essentially. He was a child star, made millions and millions and millions. He's gone through a variety of things, and you know, much like Macaulay Culkin, you know, you can't live a normal life when you shot to fame as a child.
Yeah.
And you haven't heard much from Bieber. He's getting all these weird tattoos. He's blonde. He looks like a middle-aged woman. He's back to being, I mean, this guy's all over the place. He's finding Jesus. He's losing Jesus. And it's kind of weird when you see these celebrities in a situation like this, because it's almost like they're in a, it's like the world becomes a zoo, you know, and they're like these captured beasts. They can't go anywhere without being captured on film, TV shows, whatever it is. And then every now and again, they have these moments of truth where they probably come to terms with who they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just going back to the fact that, you know, we're so quick to judge people who say want to get into male prostitution or whatever it is, this thing. It's like these celebrities, I'm pretty sure they often they watch the news or they look at society and go, look at that guy walking his dog. He seems happy. I wouldn't mind just being him.
Yeah.
Because you can't become unfamous, essentially, when you get to his level.
Yeah.
Like Misha Barton, off the rails, gone. People forget her. She can walk a dog.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
But you can't just, like, Bieber can't just retire from being Justin Bieber. He can maybe retire from being a singer, but he can't retire from being the Bieb.
Yeah.
I think
for a chilling reality?
Yeah, I think there's something about that transition, those transition years. It's one thing to be a teen, and it's one thing to be an adult when fame hits, but there's something about being that transition between teen and adulthood when you aren't really certain of who you are and what you're about and what you want to do. Because at one point, Bieber really, let's all try to extend our little amount of sympathy. He was busy singing Baby, 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 and he was touring the world, and all of his teenage dreams were coming true. I mean, he could, at a snap of a finger, get 50 girls in front of him at once. He could be in Brazil and yacht hopping at once as well. But then now, let us just pay 1 second of a thought to think that he's really this person that he's now slowly becoming. You know, this Christian, this loner, he wants to lead a private life. And you think about when you were 18 years old, when you were 16 years old, and how much your life was a mess. And now it's all multiplied with tons of money, tons of people around you, and tons of people watching you because you're famous, and how much pressure that is. I don't think it's the easiest of situations to be in, hey?
Mm-mm.
At all.
Yeah, it's tough, yeah. But Mia Khalifa has also said recently how tough her life has become, because obviously she was in the porn.
I was just going to ask, who is Mia Khalifa? I don't know porn stars by their name.
Well, Stormy Daniels, Mia Khalifa, Jenna Jameson, that's about my my repertoire right there.
Oh, okay.
It's so funny because I remember her name distinctly from very awkward moments in high school. And I went to an all-boys high school. And that's when I knew, for lack of a better term, I was different.
Mm.
This Mia Khalifa name was dropped around in an all-boys high school. And I was like, what? Mm. Mia Khalifa? Who is that? What is that? They're like, oh my gosh, she's so hot. I was like, oh, she's a she.
Yeah, it's not Wes. Yeah.
That's so, exactly why I don't know who she is. So please enlighten us, Ben. She's a porn star.
Yeah, so she was a porn star. She, I think she's from Lebanon or family's from Lebanon, Lebanon roots. So ISIS were obviously hugely against the fact that she was a porn star.
Okay.
Oh, shucks.
And there was often personal threats about beheading her unless she stopped working in the film industry. She couldn't ever go back to her homeland of fear of various death threats. And she was saying, like, as well, you know, this whole Me Too movement, it also happens in the porn industry. But you're in the porn industry, so you can't say anything. So everyone's going to go, yo, but you go there for sex.
Yeah.
So she feels like she's an outsider and that kind of stuff. And also, now that you've been a porn star, everyone's kind of seen you in these videos and they feel entitled to your personal space. So she says she gets harassed. She gets verbally abused. It's very difficult to go out. So she's become this, like, wildly reclusive person.
Yo.
So the point of this is that there are various ways to skin a cat in life. So maybe your life ain't so bad. I know you might be stuck in traffic. You're with us. So life is going to be pretty good because it's another happy show. We've done two in a row now. This is the third one. So a little bit of perspective there with celebrity life, those who are in the limelight, and those who are just finding that, like, it would be kind of cool if I was just more of a normal kind of person.
I was waiting for you to make that connection with the happiness. I'm like, where is Ben going with this one?
Well, it's just nice to know that other people are doing various things in this life. There's no playbook to the success of life other than hopefully just, you know, being able to, you know, do things with your own time and stay true to who you want to be. And, you know, she's obviously talking, it's Mia Khalifa again, she's talking about the fact that porn and all that kind of stuff, the attention. And this is what lures people into porn, is all the attention and the cheap stardom that gets thrust upon you.
Yeah.
Sorry, poor turn of phrase. But, you know, it's afterwards, like, that's it. You can't un-porn in your life. It's like Bieber can't un-Bieber himself. You can't un-porn star yourself unless you literally do cover yourself in a vodka and go live somewhere.
Yeah. No, it's tough, hey? It's a tough existence.
Anyways, I'm giving you for some perspective here on Wednesday. There's a couple of messages coming through, and apologies for the late start. Some people are accusing Gord of being lazy. Well, I tell you, and Gord says it as much, although I will take that message in jest, even though you used a horrible four-letter word. Gord does love his time with us, and if he could make it more, he would.
But maybe it's worth explaining that Gord, he works as well.
So Gord probably works harder than all of us.
Yeah.
And I won't say that because people say those flippant things, but Gord's a freelance creative person. So he writes, he does voiceovers. I mean, he's a hardworking guy, and he's a multi-talented guy as well.
Mm.
So if that... so that's Gord. Sia, I don't seem to see a running order.
It should be in your emails.
Oh, is that how we are? We're saving paper?
Yes.
Here we go. Sia taking the higher ground. Hey, you didn't realize for me to open anything in my computer. Whoops, there was a problem previewing this document.
Excuse, but I'm trying to be a better human being. That's what I'm all about.
Is the issue with your computer or is it with...
No, it's the issue with the executive producer of the show, Mubs. Come, that's cool. I'll download it now.
Okay.
But, like, you know, we start the show and... Did he tell me, Ben, they're running orders on your email?
I would assume that you open up your emails very frequently.
I've got enough of my plate here. You want me to do everything? Sitting there with your half jacket on.
Excuse me, this is a fashion statement. It's not just a half jacket, as in you throw that term all around. But it's very interesting. Do you know what? As much as we understand perspective, it's another thing to... Your sympathy is very tough to someone who has millions and millions and millions of dollars in their bank account and who has tons of opportunities and options laying right in front of them. So, you know, it's all very relative. Bieber's problems are very relative to ours, and Mia Khalifa's are also very relative to ours. So, I don't know. I think we take it with a pinch of salt.
Yeah.
Say, Bieber, you know, you can afford to buy a house in the woods and actually to buy the entire woods and to live there and be uninterrupted. So, yeah,
we've got to hold that thought because we need to get to the five things you need to know with Mobali Malloy.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Running schedule here. Come. Tight ship.
All right,
now you're the one.
Tight ship the fuck out of this thing.
Well, you will remember yesterday I told you about an alleged assassination plot against the Premier of the Northwest, Supra Mahoma Pelo. Allegedly, someone was paid 250,000 rand to take him out. And then yesterday he resigned. See, connecting the dots. Now, the Northwest ANC have welcomed his resignation. It comes after a close to 2-month-long strike in the provincial capital of Mahikeng, and as well as pressure from his party leadership. Mahoma Pelo was also facing a motion of no confidence from the opposition EFF, which some of his ANC colleagues, including members of his cabinet, had vowed to support. And, you know, with those protests that happened a few weeks ago, the people there were calling for his resignation. And I guess now he's decided that, okay, nobody wants me here. Things are becoming a little bit tricky for me. Alleged assassination plots. So maybe it really is time for me to just, I don't know, find another job and a hobby maybe. And then stay alive.
Oh, sure, because the staying alive thing is not overrated at all. So let's commit to that.
Yeah. So while all of that is happening in Camp ANC, in Camp DA, things are also just a big mess. Patricia de Lille is adamant that she is still the executive mayor of Cape Town, and that's despite the dissolution of her mayoral committee and the DA's decision to rescind her membership. Yesterday morning, the DA's federal executive announced that de Lille's membership has been taken away because of comments that she made on 702 and Cape Talk. During the interview, de Lille said that she'd walk away from the DA, a statement that the leadership says is in contravention of the party's constitution, so they decided, out you go. But she has come out swinging in response, saying that she will challenge their decision in court this coming Friday.
Patricia, they're just not that into you. You've got to take a hint, and I don't care if you're right or wrong. This is becoming bad for everybody.
Oof.
But like the DA is waiting. Okay, let's go through the contra. Oh no, she's got to be in there. She's gone.
Yeah. And also just awkward in general. Shucks.
But this is just a reminder that no political party is exempt from messes, with in-house messes that they need to clean up. And right now the DA are just such a big mess. They are just...
Once again, what are politicians adding to your life? This is like the worst schoolyard battle we've ever heard of. I mean, if your kid was 4 years old and came home and told you basically the story of DA and Patricia, you'd be like, okay, enough. This is childish.
Yeah. Mm,
you can do better.
Yeah. President Cyril Ramaphosa says that he supports the notion of a state bank. He was answering questions in the National Assembly yesterday afternoon, saying that the country could do well to establish more banks. He was asked by the EFF's Floyd Shavambu what his position on a state-owned bank is, and Ramaphosa says that he is all for it.
Yeah, did anyone listen to or watch Parliament yesterday?
No, I don't have time.
Well, I don't even think time is the point. I'm, like, I'm I think not you even, don't even care.
No, I actually don't have time.
It was very interesting how, what's the term, Ramaphoria? That's supposed
to be. Yeah, Anthony used that.
Yes, that's a feeling everyone, like a lot of people had when President Ramaphosa stepped into office, and they were very optimistic about what he was going to do. And yesterday, our president used the term shut up.
Yes.
And maybe that's not a big deal for a lot of people.
But well, who did he say shut up to?
He said shut up to a member of the DA.
I think it was Steen Hazen. Yeah. I can't remember what his first name is.
And he repeated it twice, if I'm correct.
And then he was asked to withdraw it, and then he withdrew. You know how it is.
But yeah, that's pressure. Everyone was going, oh, it's the new Madiba. Now it's like, dude,
exactly.
Shut up.
Yeah. He really just, and he said it so kindly as well. He said, member so-and-so, I'm going to ask you to shut up. But there's something about those two words and that just ruins Ramaphosa for me. So yeah, talk about the times changing.
Well, unfortunately, reality and the next day was always going to ruin Ramaphobia. So Rama reality, more
Ramaphoria.
Like
Ramaphobia.
Ramaality. There we go. Let's have that.
Okay. Yeah. Those are the five things that you need to know.
See, the reason I want a piece of paper for the running order, and again, call me an environmental heathen, mm-hmm. is that there's a variety of things on my screen already. So now I've got to then dedicate a tab to the running order where I could have. You see where I'm going with this?
I see where you're going.
So how about this? Let's save a piece of paper somewhere else today. But bigger than the running order.
And let's wait until Set by Sia, because I actually have a story about recycling, so maybe that might change. But well, sure.
Maybe recycle this idea because it's a cuck one. In your cryptocurrencies today, it seems like everything is kind of balancing out a bit. The cryptocurrency euphoria that we had last week coming to cryptocurrency reality.
No, it doesn't work, Ben.
All right, yeah, jeepers, tough critic. So Bitcoin is currently at $9,039. I mean, look, it's still looking positive if you were to look at it on a month, 2 month kind of system, I guess. And Ethereum, $721.59. So Ethereum, again, it's like I said yesterday, Warren Buffett was calling this non-productive asset. So you look at this and you go, oh, come on. And it's like, well, it's actually a non-productive asset. But we must get into some sport. We've got lots of messages piling up. I shall get to them once I get a moment, but we've got to get into the sport because West Brom have been relegated from the English Premier League. That is because Southampton beat Swansea last night. Now, it's an exciting time of the year, as we all know, with these promotion, relegation kind of situations that are now being thrust upon us. So Southampton with a very good away win yesterday at Swansea. Now, Southampton and Swansea are still very much in the battle for staying up. So even though Southampton got the win yesterday, they're not clear. They're not in the safety of playing top flight football again next year. But there's a whole host of fixtures tonight to look into. So Leicester are going to be hosting Arsenal. So I mean, obviously all the sort of like good feelings around Arsene Wenger and the farewells, and no one's saying horrible things about him anymore because now everyone knows he's going, so they're just being very polite. So they've already played the last home game. Now it's going to be two games away. So Leicester tonight, 8:45. And then Chelsea will take on Huddersfield. Now, this is a big game for both of these teams because Chelsea are still trying to get top four, and they believe they can get it, and obviously they've got to win their last two matches. Huddersfield, too, are part of the relegation drop zone. Spurs will take on Newcastle, and they'll be at 9 o'clock as well. Again, this is very important for Spurs because they are in that top four race. And then Man City will be taking on Brighton. Brighton up, Man City have won, so that game's got very little significance whatsoever. We spoke yesterday about the fact that the Players' Championship is this week. I shall get into the pairings and the tee-off times, all that kind of stuff tomorrow because it is such a big deal. But one thing I mentioned yesterday was that the winner makes $1.89 million for winning. Now, on the other side of the coin is that there's lots of money in golf, loads and loads of money. If you look at it globally, women golfers essentially can make second most money behind tennis. But the ladies European tour, unfortunately, even though you'd think like the European tour is a massive success for men, on the women's side of things, not so much, with many players literally being unless you like the top three being forced to take part-time jobs, which has kind of shone the spotlight onto the sport. And why is it no one's putting money into it? And people obviously saying, you know, we work so hard, this and that. But this is the problem with sport, and obviously this affects women's sport a whole bunch because less people want to be involved in this because they haven't got the big names, the household names that men's sport do. But it's quite interesting to see that there is such a massive difference between the players on the LPGA Tour and then the LET Tour, which is obviously the Ladies European Tour. So if you look at someone like the average British woman makes about £25,000 a year. Only the top 50 ranked on the European Tour can actually boast that much money. It's quite something that, because you think, like, when you're a sports star, you're playing golf especially, you can make big money, and you can, sure, of course. I mean, Europe's top-ranked golfer last year, she made £325,000 from 10 events that she played in, so she's obviously way above the average, but she's just one person. And to think that there's huge expenses that go into being a golfer, because you're always traveling, you're always staying in hotels, you're always on the move, and that comes at a huge cost. So the fact that only 50 of them are above the average age, the average wage for women in the UK, it really is quite something. Hmm. On the other side of the coin, if you look at like a decent performing golfer, let's take for instance,
That one.
Yes. I've totally lost the name here. This woman, okay, she's called her average golfer. She makes an entire year what the 7th ranked player on the LPGA Tour makes in 1 month.
Oh.
Break that one down.
A woman makes in the entire
year. So an above average player on the women's European tour makes an entire year what's one of the top, like the 7th ranked player on the LPGA tour makes in 1 month.
Mm.
That is the disparity between the two.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. It's quite chilling. Hey? You see these women playing in the Solheim Cup and all that kind of stuff, and you think, well, they've got to be competitive. But a lot of them have different jobs.
Yo, guys, it's rough. It's rough for us out here, eh?
Speaking about money, who likes money?
Who doesn't like me is more the
in a sporting
over
context.
Here,
yeah,
please.
Let's calm it down.
Over here.
FIFA.
Well, yes, yeah. Them too.
Yeah. So FIFA are obviously they've gone for the big cash. So somehow Russia then Qatar got their World Cups respectively now this year in 2022. World Cup 2026. This is going to be very interesting for so many different dynamics. Firstly, Morocco has put a very strong bid together for this. Of course, the only African nation to have it so far has been South Africa. Morocco, a much smaller nation, is going to be a very compact World Cup. But if FIFA were to be consistent, you can't get more compact than Qatar. I mean, it's literally like having a World Cup in the studio here. So Morocco have got a great bid going. They really do. But the powerhouse bid is coming from the USA, Canada, and Mexico. Mm. And they believe that they can make as much as $11 billion of profit. So they're speaking FIFA's language here. They really are. But let's just say that again. America, Mexico, Canada.
Wait, is this a three-team?
Yes, they're putting together a joint bid to make it the bid of all bids. And then Donald Trump was saying how this is a great bid and it'd be a real shame that people might lobby against the USA hosting anything in the sake of football to snub him. But then you're thinking, hang on a second, Mexico and the USA, 2026, Donald wants his wall up by that stage.
Oh, okay, bit of a problem.
It's hardly going to say anything about unity. I know you fly to Mexico. You're not going to walk anywhere. But it's a strange kind of dynamic that's got going here. Because a World Cup in Morocco would be fantastic, of course. But the most successful World Cup to date, attendance-wise, all that kind of stuff, was back when the World Cup was in the USA, which was back in 1994, I think it was. Yeah. So this 2026 is going to be very interesting. And the bid, well, 13th of June, that's when the vote takes place.
Oh,
so we're close. And obviously people are saying, like, you know, go for the underdog, go for Morocco. But you got to think that Canada, USA, Mexico, they're all putting together a huge bid. It's going to be an incredible World Cup, you think, if you're going to go to these matches. Those three countries are pretty diverse when it comes to a soccer or football experience. Mm. Because you'll get both. You'll play football and soccer in the same tournament. How incredible is that? But FIFA, they're going to look at that and go, $11 billion. We like dollars, especially when you use the term B. As far as the number.
Billions and billions.
Billions, and that's what Trump's going. Yep. Billions and billions. Andy Murray, who we all know, is everyone's favorite Ginga tennis player, mostly because he is the only one. His recovery is taking longer than expected. So in January, he had a hip operation. So the last time he played competitively was Wimbledon last year. Now, Wimbledon, as you know, is played every July, and he's been out. Andy got to world number one. He eventually got his hoodoo over Djokovic. He was on top of the world. But then his body just broke down. So he's currently trying to target the grass court season for his comeback, but apparently things aren't going so well. Mm. He was putting a lot of stuff on social media about his comeback, and obviously that's what, you know, gives fans hope and obviously makes him focused. But now he's kind of stopped doing that. So clearly he hasn't got much to show. Maybe it's taking longer than expected. And at the age of 30, obviously you don't bounce back as quick as you could.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a worry for Andy. Also, another worry is this whole Springboks versus Wales test match that's going to be played in Washington, D.C. I mean, it's pretty close now, a couple of weeks' time. And the Welsh, they've also announced a pretty weakened side that's going to go there. So you've got a weakened Springbok team, a weakened Welsh team. They're hoping to sell 45,000 tickets for this because they just believe if they just splash rugby in America, everyone's going to lap it up.
Like, I was just going to ask, why are they playing in the U.S. where the U.S. don't know what rugby is?
Well, there is a pocket of support and pocket of interest. And I say pocket, obviously it's a fair amount of people. It's just that America is so big that it is a drop in the ocean. But it's just, it's a shame because you want to... It's the whole thing about globalizing the game. This is why they're doing it. So globalize the game, take it out there, get more bumps and seats towards the sport they're trying to grow. And everyone was saying, well, if we can tap into the American market, the sport will thrive and it really will become that global game we've all been hoping for. But when you're sending, it's like if you want to sell a product and you send the assistant brand manager to a new company, they're going to go, okay, maybe, maybe not. But if you send the full chunk of stuff, people will get excited about this. Mm. So it doesn't look very good, I must say. But interesting point, you know, yesterday I was saying about the fact that if Sanzar were to lose South Africa and lose South Africa's interest and all their money, of course, it would weaken the organization. Well, there's more speculation coming out that was being fueled by the Lions coach suddenly saying that, look, there's a lot of money in Europe. It's very attractive for South African teams in future. When you think it all comes down to finance, people have to get paid. Organizations have to run because they're businesses. If Sanzar is going to be, if the juice isn't worth the squeeze, so to speak, people may look up north. So it's quite interesting to say that. But now the thing about the if it's a good thing or a bad thing. The Cheetahs went into this tournament last year, the Pro 14, and everyone thought it would be great. They're going to gain European experience. They're going to strengthen the Bok concerns. The guys are going to make money, whatever, whatever. Saru bled so much money by putting the Kings and the Cheetahs in this tournament, and the Cheetahs now have lost 11 of their top flight players. So just think of a rugby team runs out, okay, 15 players, general squad of 30. 11 of the players that started the season are no longer going to be with the Cheetahs because they've been picked up by the overseas teams they've been exposed to. So if we want to cap this exodus away from SA rugby, taking our guys to Europe may hasten it, seeing as the Cheetahs are showing the blueprint there. The Cheetahs are going to start the next Pro 14 literally with a whole new team and coach, because the coach is also gone. There are some interesting dynamics around this, but this is a professional sport and something is going to be shaken up. We all know that Sanzar have done a pretty average job about doing things, and there's no real certainty because they want to just, you know, throw around terms like, well, we've got to go to America, globalize the game. More teams mean more problems. But now when we go to Europe, also other potential problems. Unless there'll be enough money to keep all the players. Obviously, the Cheetahs are a smaller union, so maybe this has been exaggerated. Maybe you won't see the same exodus if a team as strong as the Sharks, the Lions, the Bulls, or the Stormers go up north. But still, it is a kind of concern. But then again, it goes back to the whole thing. It's a global game. Look at football. Argentinian players don't play in Argentina. They play in Europe. Same with Brazilians. So there's English stars all over the place. You know, the French stars, the Belgians, whatever. And maybe it's just time that rugby will become more of a global game with all of this. So it's kind of like taking a whole bunch of things and throwing it towards a fan. And I think it's a fascinating 2 years of rugby ahead. Obviously, World Cups, people try to stay quite honest and quite cohesive with what they do because that's the big showpiece. But post-2019, I think we're going to see some incredible shakeups. And I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Maybe because I'm just one of the sadistic fans that likes a bit of change. And finally, Arsene Wenger. Like I said, he's out. He's on his way out of Arsenal. There's two more matches in the league to go. But apparently, he's getting numerous job offers. Numerous. Would as a football team, is he the right guy? I don't know. He's been with one club for so long. He's so set in his ways. He only knows one kind of way, I would imagine. But the guy's still got a great philosophy about football, many people say, and that could do another team wonders. It really could. So it'd be interesting to see where he goes in that. And that is your sport for today. It's quite a lot, but tomorrow we'll get in close to the weekend with it being a Thursday. And more exciting things around sports. Like I said, Players Championship. We've got a whole host of Super Rugby fixtures to look into. And, well, I'm sure I'll find something else. But right now, I've got to intro Sia and his section, said by Sia. It's a heartwarming section where Sia finds the good news of the world. And not only does he find it, he represents it in more ways than one. That's about right, eh, Sia?
That's quite spot on, yes, Ben.
Uh-oh. Is this the remix?
Oh.
It's so happy it's playing twice.
It's so nice we play twice. There we go. Thank you, Ben. Well, this morning it's more of a good news suggestion. So these are two problems and we hope to eliminate with one stone. Firstly, we already know how much the Earth in terms of the environment is going through a lot and how many issues we're facing there. But also secondly, hey, just a bit of a reminder, it is Mother's Day this weekend.
Indeed,
on Sunday
yeah.
So how about we put those two together and we just make it amazing this coming Sunday? Because this Mother's Day, how about you give your mother a gift that will give back to the Earth and last generations to come? You know, every single year you're stuck with that issue of like, what do I get her? Because soap on rope isn't enough.
And flowers seem like, you know, impersonal and
yeah, you want to make more of an impact and a difference. How about imagining and donating a tree in your mother's name and making a difference to our Earth's struggling ecosystem? Well, there's a person by the name of Misha Teasdale who is behind an organization called Green Pop, which is a social enterprise which was founded back in 2010 while he was a producer, which aims to replenish the trees within the forests and communities of South Africa. So working with the community, they plan to plant thousands of trees in underdeveloped areas and start a lasting reforestation program. So Green Pop offers people the opportunity to buy a tree and get their hands dirty in a community that actually needs more trees. So, for example, GreenPop works with many different projects, including the likes of replanting trees after the Knysna fires, and we know how desperately that area needs trees.
Yeah, we almost forgot about that, how devastating that was.
So quickly, hasn't it? But as they create green spaces, for example, in townships as well, and actively work to stop deforestation through their reforestation project. So the project has seen cool events such as a reforestation festival that took place over a weekend earlier this year, and where hundreds of people joined in to plant trees. So for this Mother's Day, GreenPop is encouraging people to buy their mothers a lasting earth-changing gift that will be around for generations to come. And all you need to do is donate a tree in your mother's honor, and they will plant it on your behalf. So your donation will help fund their reforestation project in Africa's southernmost forest, the Plantbos Forest in the Cape. And this is a very unique ecosystem of beautiful indigenous trees that are under threat. And by sponsoring a tree as a gift, you can help regenerate this precious landscape. So think about that. You're killing two birds with one stone, so to speak. You're getting your mother an awesome Mother's Day gift, and you're being quite cool by saving the earth. So I think, look, if you're out of ideas, and I'm telling you right now, if you're thinking about it, a soap on a rope, definitely years out of trend. How about you consider GreenPop as something awesome to do, hey? I don't think that's too much to ask for. That's your said by Sia for this morning.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Giving back, and it's like a timeless thing as well.
Exactly.
It's also a great story because you can say, well, my son or blah, blah, blah got me this. And then, then you got 10 minutes of talking, which will help you in life.
Because I don't know about you guys, but have you guys started to think about Mother's Day?
Mm-mm.
And I think all of us actually in this room, it works in our favor that our mothers don't live with us, A, but B, they aren't even in the city. So
it's just the pressure. So you know that you're going to have to phone her, and then you still have a bit of time to buy her something in case you want to for when you do eventually see her, like a delayed gift.
My mother it slips her mind. So by the time I see her next in a couple of weeks or a couple of months, she'll be over it. So for now, I'll just call her on Sunday morning.
Guys, I've just gone through the messages.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Tandazel has probably sent about 100 messages.
Oh
no.
Started the show yesterday talking about how yesterday we found out about this whole daddy fine grinder thing. And well, he had a client in Sandton yesterday.
Oh la la.
And while Sia was pontificating and stuff, I just scrolled through this entire message feed. He basically gave blow by blow going from home to Sandton, the taxi, the route, the places, the people, all these kind of things. I obviously can't go through that because,
is it like a PG rating?
No, like you need like a Tumblr app to kind of just document all of this stuff.
Oh, shucks.
But I'll get to the last, again, I mean, maybe we should take a team vote and if we should be reading all these messages out. They really are quite something.
Yes.
I've just lost it now. Sorry, guys. There literally is. There's like 50 messages.
Oh, shucks. Listen, we asked for this, though, yesterday. We said we needed more information, and now he's giving it to us.
Okay. First up, he says, by the way, guys, if I was 18 minutes late for a client, as in when we started the show today, we would face a cancellation. So we are getting work ethic checkups
advice,
from Tandazel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, this is just one message. Okay.
And he uses the example of a client who he now services.
Speaking of clients, this is what Ntandazo said yesterday from his, let's just say, fruitful trip through to Sandton to see a client. He did take a picture of the hotel he was at. He says, we'll never reveal our clients, but what's with these rich, mostly white guys? Okay, here goes. We were shook yesterday. Had to piss into someone's mouth. Yes. Drop a grand, I will.
No, 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 no.
But like, for a second, I was just numb. Luckily, my partner was like, step aside, let me empty my bladder. He said this to me in Kasi speak, obviously. So this is why we've got to get paid. I will be scared for my life, but hey, we move forward. Sure. And that's all that's, And again, he took great exception to the fact that we were late. Morning, Benjamin. Why do you have a happier voice when G isn't there? Not sure. Mia Khalifa isn't hot at all. The fantasy is supposed to be doing porn. Okay, that's obviously a very subjective thought. Well, when you have on the whole gap between women and male golfers and on the European tour, a message here saying, well, when you have a lot of UK golf courses still have separate men's and women's lounges, of course there'll be a huge gap between the amount of money made. It's a very interesting point that. More talking about where Gord is. Ben, what did you take for your allergies and sinus issues? Nothing really. I took a few just general flu things, but I don't like taking medication. I hate to think my body would become reliant on stuff. I try to be strong enough to obviously battle things by myself. Hi guys, I need help. I met my boyfriend in Tinder 6 months ago, and we were going strong until last weekend when he went silent.
Mm-hmm.
6 months, okay, this is a fair amount of time. I called and asked what's up. He says he has been thinking about a lot, including our relationship. He doesn't see how we'll end up at the same place. We live 100 kilometers apart, okay, fair enough, but we see each other every week and every second week. Is it okay to think that this means he has changed his mind about us? He says there are a lot of uncertainties. I love this guy. Must I give up on him? Please help.
Wait a minute.
Let's open this up, Mubs. They live 100 kilometers apart, sure. But yet they have made the effort with each other. But now it's got to the 6 month point,
yeah.
And he's having second thoughts, basically saying, are we going to end up at the same place? As in, is there a future between us?
Phew. This is a tough one, and I'm not an expert of any kind.
Okay, first up, if he was...
Sorry to cut you off. When she asked the question, should she leave?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you should ever ask other people what you should do. You should always decide for yourself. Because this is your situation that you're in.
Well, this is where I'm going to go straight to you, Mouse, because you'll give the bottom line.
Yeah, so I'm not about to even advise or suggest what you should do in terms of leaving him or not. But it's tough because now the things that you want are no longer aligned. So it calls for some serious conversations to be had, and I guess for some decisions to be made. And throughout all of it, for you both to be grown up about it.
Well, I'll say this much. If he was at a hotel yesterday in Sandton.
As soon as I got that thought out of my mind.
Yeah.
I joke.
Just a bit of a... Please paint a picture for me. What is 100 kilometers?
What do you mean?
It's double here to Pretoria, essentially. Do you ever speak to Pretoria? Probably double.
So that's roughly about like...
It's far.
An hour and a half, bordering on 2 hours away.
I would say it's far. I mean, you can Google a variety of things about what 100 kilometers is. It's more than an hour's drive away.
Oh, jeez. I
wish you all the luck. And that's the thing. You say you love this guy, so obviously you want to make it happen. And that's what love makes you do. It makes you forget about all reason and practicality and makes you pursue things from the heart.
I'm no Dr. Phil in this situation, but I think there's so many factors to this. Like, how old are you? You know, if you feel like your biological clock is ticking or you really want to be committed, then I think this is worth fighting for. But if you're still in your early 20s, don't do it. Mm-mm. Find someone else.
Yeah.
Oh, Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Exactly. That's the first hour.
Hey.
And your reward for sticking it out is this.
We like her.
This is CliffCentral.com.